Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now, as we all know, exposure to mobile phone devices often begins at a much younger age. Like when your two-year-old wakes up at 6 a.m. in the morning and tries to get into bed with you and you don't want to get up just yet, so you give him the phone to watch Pokemon. Like, just as an example off the top of my head, you guys might be doing that. It's just becoming increasingly common to see toddlers operating smartphones in their buggy and small kids playing with games on their phones, just so we can keep them occupied. Well, joining me now to discuss phones and kids is child and adolescent psychotherapist Colman Nocter. How are you? Are you there?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jen. How are you?
It's great to have you on. Thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
So, the burning question, what is the right age for a child to have their own phone?
An unacceptable answer to a burning question is it depends on the child. I suppose from the point of view, there's probably 13-year-olds out there that I'd know that you wouldn't have too many worries about them having a phone. Mm-hmm. There's 16-year-olds out there who would have grave concerns of what they do when they have a phone, because the phone gives you an access. It's a portal to an online world. So it's the degree to how you interact with the world and how you can keep yourself safe and how you can regulate your own behavior, that'll determine how ready someone is for that. And if you're working in child mental health, I mean, you know that age is the most arbitrary gauge for that, because the level of maturity from one 13-year-old to another is massive. But I would say to each parent, I mean, you're judging, I'd say, to what degree does your child have a degree of cop on? And the more cop on they have, the better they'll be able to manage the online world, you know. So yeah. It is about self-regulation. I mean, what we have to do online is self-discipline, because the biggest issue here is overuse. And I think for many parents, with the lockdown and everything, the screen time thing went out the door, you know, in terms of we were telling children, you know, get off your screens and go outside for 5 years. And then we just said to them, actually come inside and go on your screens. And the hypocrisy of that message wasn't lost on teenagers in that sense. So we've got a real challenge now to try and wind that back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, anyone could be forgiven for using a kind of a digital babysitter for the last while, especially when you're trying to parenting from work and everything else that was going on. But whether it was necessary at the time, but whether it was the right thing to do for their mental health, development and well-being is another question. And again, we're in unprecedented times, but we have to look at regulating the use of phones for children, and certainly the younger they are. And look, when you buy a phone, it's like buying a pup, Jen. You know, the work only starts there. It's not about, you know, just give the device and say off you go. It's about teaching a child to negotiate their space online. So you bring them into the world gradually. Like, you don't, you know, send your 5-year-old down to the shops. You walk with them first, you hold their hand, and then you'll give them a little bit more independence. And then as they're older and as they show a degree of road safety, you kind of will give them more and more autonomy. And the more sensible they are, the more responsibility they get.
That's a great way to answer it, Colman, because I mentioned on my Instagram that you're coming on the show, and I've had so many messages from pals who have kids going, oh, my young fella wants a phone. What do I say? What is the right age? And it's like, okay, when they're 10, when they're 11 or whatever, that's the age. But you're so right. And I suppose if your kid is the type of kid who goes into town and hangs outside of off license trying to get people over the age to go in and buy them booze, if they're that type of kid, maybe think twice about letting them into the online world, because they're going to be going off and doing things that maybe they shouldn't as well. Go on, what were you going to say?
I don't think people know the risk of the online world as well. I mean, it's not just a phone, it's never a phone. It is a portal to everything. And, you know, if you can imagine that Google and Apple and these, like, it's a village that there's no, like, it's a village of desire. Whatever you want, you get. There's nothing online that will give you what you need. It'll only give you what you want. Do you know what I mean? So if you want more and more stuff, it'll just keep giving you. There's nobody online who says you've had enough, which means as a user, we have to be able to regulate our own usage and say, look, I'm going to stop now. And as we know, teenagers just don't have, or children don't have, that ability to self-regulate. Some adults don't. So you need a high degree of self-discipline to be good online and to manage your own online world. And everything about the world outside is about excess, like, you know, binge watch, all you can eat data. All these phrases are kind of, they promote excess. So it means you have to be absolutely even more disciplined with your own usage. And to be fair, children are not very good at that. And you know, even if we cleared up all the stuff online, Jen, if we took away all the pornography, the cyberbullying and everything else, you'd still have an issue because you'd still have a kid who'd spend 9 hours on YouTube watching cats on skateboards. And that's like, that's not illegal. There's nothing inappropriate about it. So that's not about regulating content. That's about regulating human desire. So all the work you have with your child online is working with your child, not working with the technology. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. But how do we, like, I got a text in from Elaine saying, Coleman, I'm adamant my son is not getting a phone until he's in the first year of school, but he's wailing that all of his friends are getting one in sixth class. My husband says, let him at it because he'll be left out. What should I do?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. The pester power around that is interesting. But what I would say to most parents is, why do we follow the weakest link in the chain? Why does the lowest common denominator? It's the first parent to break in fifth class to get the phone that sets the trend for everyone else. And as parents, we need to kind of have a WhatsApp group of our own where we kind of make an agreement and say, like nobody bend on this. We need to kind of show solidarity. But what I would always say to the parent, if you're the unpopular tech parent, time may prove that you were right. And again, I think this is a social experiment. We don't know the impact of all of this on our children yet. It hasn't been around long enough. And if you're overly cautious in an experiment, you may be right in that way. But what I'm saying to you is, it's an issue of rights and responsibilities. It's not a right to have, it's not a human right to have a phone. It is a responsibility. So you show the responsibility, you earn the right. It's not you give the thing and see how you go. You know, we would say to a child, you know, you can have ice cream. And when they're finished, they'll say, I want more. And we say no, because I don't want you vomiting all over the floor. And, you know, we say that's a portion, that's regular. And we regulate everything for children. We need to regulate the online space as well. But don't be under any illusion. It is a labor intensive job. And you would have to introduce your child gradually to technology. So maybe borrowing your phone for a little while, then maybe having an account on your device, and as they show you that they're able to manage this or they're sensible, then they have more. And if they don't, they have less. But it's a job of surveillance and supervision. And I would say to every parent, start really tight and widen as you go, as opposed to starting wide and try to tighten.
That's really good advice. I needed to hear those words. Because that's the way to go, I think. Just give it to them little, and then, because if you just give them the phone, then you're screwed, aren't you? Really, you just hand them the phone and you don't monitor it. I mean, you're asking for a disaster there.
Well, if you think about it, like, if online stuff is the junk food of communication, we teach children to have a healthy relationship with junk food. So you have the meat and two veg of your face-to-face communication, and you have the treat afterwards. Yeah. We don't give the treat first. And so they learn to have a relationship with it. And we need to do the same with technology. We need to be able to show that, like, to prioritize it, put it in a place in their lives where it belongs. It shouldn't be the first thing in the world for them. It should be something that, you know, family time, all that sort of stuff comes first. But I would say to you, and for that parent out there, I haven't seen any child come to therapy because they haven't had enough technology. I've seen plenty come who've had too much.
Wow. Jesus, that sentence just sent a chill up my spine. Can we move on to little kids and phones?
Sure.
I mean, because it's very common to see toddlers watching videos and phones when we used to go to restaurants. And I'm guilty of giving my two-year-old my phone if he wakes up at 6 a.m. in the morning until at least 7 a.m. To watch cartoons. How much of a danger is this? And would you be worried about this?
I mean, there's some guidelines from the American Pediatric Association that says no child should have a screen in the first 18 months of their lives. I mean, I think that's probably a little bit extreme. Again, this is about moderation. Do you know what I mean? But it is important to what level you're associating the screen usage. If a child is upset or, you know, anxious or worried, or comes in and you hand the device, what you are is creating a digital soother. So the child relates the dopamine of the screen to something like a treat when you hurt yourself or whatever the case may be, which can be an unhealthy relationship. It's like, you know, saying to an adolescent, you know, when you're feeling sad, here's the liquor cabinet, have at it. Do you know what I mean? I think we need to, again, it's about modifying the relationship with technology, but regulation is key. So if you're keeping in moderation, I mean, I would say the 4-7 rule applies here. If you're that 1-3 parent who has no technology and technology is evil, what you're going to do is you're going to drive it underground. Children are going to access technology through their pals, and they're going to have hidden SIM phones and all that sort of stuff, and you're not going to know if they're in trouble online. If you're 8, 9, 10 and you just give the phone to them and they have free rein, you're going to run in trouble as well. So it's always trying to get that in the middle, that you're not the draconian parent or you're not the bohemian parent who lets everything go. Try and keep in the middle and try and regulate it as best you can for them. A good tip on that, if they're old enough, is if you give them the device and give them it at full charge and don't allow them to charge the device for the week. So you're teaching them to manage their own usage by, you know, you only get one charge. So it's like my mother used to say when she used to do the shopping on a Thursday, like, when they're gone, they're gone. Do you know that kind of way? So and all the nice stuff was gone, it was gone. And so it teaches you to kind of regulate yourself a little bit. And that's the goal. But let's be reasonable here. We're asking a population who are not good regulators to do something that they may not be even cognitively or emotionally able to do. And so asking someone to do something that they'll inevitably fail at is unfair. So we have to be realistic about what children can do. But as for those small children, anyone can be forgiven for giving a tablet when you're waiting in a doctor's office or you want to keep them quiet again, but it's just about keeping it in moderation and not always associating it with discomfort or upset, because that association, that wire can get established.
Carly just texted in, Coleman, my niece is 3 and is addicted to my sister's phone to the point that she gets hysterical when you try and take it off her. What can we do here?
That's the kid you need to mind and keep an extra eye out for, because some children, the research I did, that certain people are more vulnerable to dependence and unhelpful relationships than others. And it's the kid that you have to kind of prize the phone from their white knuckles. That's the kid who probably needs more and more support around it. What I would say to them is, survive the detox. I mean, you might get the hysteria, but after a while, it calms down. And I can remember there was a mum came to see me a while ago, and she had said to her that her 14-year-old had done something that she shouldn't have done online, and she was taken off it for 2 weeks. And I remember she rang me after the first week and said, it's absolutely horrendous here. She's shouting and roaring, slamming doors and saying we've ruined her life and everything else. And she said, I'm thinking of caving in. And I said, well, you said 2 weeks, so maybe stick to the 2 weeks. And I didn't hear from her the second week, and I thought that she's obviously given it back. But the second week she came to me, she said, I just wanted to say, the second week I got my daughter back.
Amazing. I'm trying to say to my husband, look, they cannot be looking at us at our phone, on our phones all the time, because it's monkey see, monkey do, isn't it? And if they see us constantly on our phones when they're trying to talk to us and do stuff, I mean, that's just, they're going to see that's the way it is. And you can't tell them not to be on phones or give them phones when we're on it constantly. So I just want to finish up by asking you, have you any advice, solid advice for parents out there?
I think from the point of view of if you're saying to them, come off your Xbox while you're on your phone all the time, it's like saying you have your porridge, I'm going to have a packet of crisps. It just won't work. And anything you say, if it's not role modeled, is not going to have an impact. But I would say to you, as a family, you prioritize where technology needs to be in your life. And again, it's the more important stuff first, then the middle stuff, and then it comes somewhere in around third. But it is like, we may feel as parents, you know, we're being taken over by screens and our children are being kind of influenced by the mob as opposed to ourselves. Don't underestimate the family culture and how important that is. Your children are picking up their value systems still more so off you than anyone else. And you control that culture within your own family. And if you have a culture that regulates and celebrates kind of meaning and importance, and the screen stuff is something that comes in there too, but it's not a priority, children will pick that up. Even though they might not seem to be, they are.
Coleman Nocter, thank you so much. And like I said before, you can check him out, ColemanNocter.com. Back after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.